For that, we've got to talk about radio.
Right around the corner next week.
That just means summer's over.
I know. Fall is here.
I know.
Temperature's dropping.
What? And it happens in the Midwest quicker than other places in the United States. But the analysts are saying that Labor Day traffic is expected to rise 3%, and this is in comparison to the same time last year, to 14.2 million passengers. This is according to airlines in the United States. And they're expected to also add seats and upgrade aircraft because they need, it's more demand. More people are traveling over that period.
Well, people are trying to get their last bit in, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
It's
going to be a busy time. But they are also saying that you may be able to find some deals as the airlines are adding more seats to accommodate the demand, changing different aircraft or putting more aircraft on. And we're talking about that period from September 2nd to September 8th.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be something. I'm glad I'm not going to be in an airport during that week. You are, though, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to New York and really happy about it. I got my ticket a long time ago, so I got a really good deal. But one of the things that they're talking about that has affected the airfare as well is that the low fuel cost. Even though the cost has been kind of fluctuating up and down, it's still been pretty steady and staying kind of low. So the airlines are prices have come down a bit, but also people are spending more because whether they're, even if they're not flying, if they're driving, it's less expensive to travel with gas.
Well, that's a good thing. Good thing, good thing. Well, let's move over those seas to Johannesburg, South Africa. They have another festival.
They do, and I like this because it's in Johannesburg. It's the Johannesburg Shopping Festival that's coming up in the spring. And when I say spring, the spring in South Africa is the reverse of ours. It's our fall. It's their spring. So their spring festival is going to take place September 24th through October 3rd. I'm happy that it's in Johannesburg because Johannesburg really suffered right after apartheid ended. And the city became abandoned. It did create a development in surrounding suburbs like Rosebank and Sandton and those areas. But there has been a resurgence of Johannesburg, a renovation, a revitalization that I've seen every year that I've gone back. So now they have the Joy of Jazz Festival that's there. We have a group going there next month to attend the Joy of Jazz Festival. They now have this wonderful shopping festival, which is going to take place during the same time we're going to be there. They also have their own fashion week now. So there's, I see more development, more businesses are opening, driving around. You see people out shopping, dining, having a good time. So I'm very happy to see that.
Oh, yeah, because the first time I went, it was like the financial district had left, everything had left. And like you said, every time I go back, it gets a little better. But you're taking a group during a shopping festival?
Well, I just found out about the shopping festival. We're going for the jazz festival.
Okay. Just get ready for some oversized bags.
Start your engine.
London Airport has happy harmos. Okay, I can't wait for this one.
Well, this is based on a concept of dining and food and what you consume. And so this is at London's Gatwick Airport. They have teamed up with a nutritionist, Joe Travers, who says the concept of eating certain foods that will help you be happy. And this is especially important at airports and while you're flying because you get dehydrated, the poor circulation of air, certain things happen that can make it a little depressing in that environment. So get a little bit of happy chemicals to your brain when you're traveling. And so the nutritionist working along with London's Gatwick Airport are working with the restaurants there. So, for example, Frankie and Benny's, they've added some happy hormone foods like salmon with citrus salad, and it promises brain function. They also have a Lebanese chain restaurant with falafel and fattoush salad, and this is really good for the blood sugar levels. So really just thinking about those foods that feed different parts of your hormone that can make for happy hormones.
Well, I'm happy to hear those things because they sound good.
They do sound good. I love falafel.
So do I.
Love falafel. Chickpeas is, you know, so rich in protein and vitamins. And
it's just good.
It is good.
It's good. Okay. A new Slim Tower iPhone, what?
Yeah, well, it's a metamorphosis, and this is, with its nickname, the iPhone Slim Tower. It's an ultra-slim hotel tower that was conceptualized by an architect, an American architect, actually. His name is Tom Main, and he's of Morphosis. The hotel's new name is called 7132 in Val, Switzerland. It's a new luxury brand. It's designed to attract Swiss jet setters. They have rooms and suites that are designed by Starkitects. All these new words.
I know. What's
a star architect is a Starkitect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Kengo Kuma and Tadao Ando. And it was formerly the Theme Hotel and Spa Resort, but they changed the name to 7132 because that is a sign of audacity to come to 7132, the postal code of Vail.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, so it's the postal code of Vail, but it's ultra, ultra slim, 381 meters or 1,250 feet tall. Going to have 107 rooms. You should really see the picture of it. It's very, very thin. That resembles like
an iPhone.
Exactly.
Okay. I got you. I'm with you now. All right. Okay. Now, which senator is up in arms about the IATA proposal?
Senator Charles Schumer is up in arms about the IATA proposal of standardizing carry-on bags, because this standardization means a smaller carry-on bag. So he's saying he wants the airlines to ignore IATA's proposal to shrink the size of carry-on bags. Now, he's said that they really hope that they scrap this proposal, and he's calling it just another nickel and dime piece of the industry, and that we want to blow the whistle on this before it happens. But remember, we talked about a couple of European carriers that have already
gone
kind of adopted
below,
it.
Gone below, though. They're even smaller than what IATA is asking for.
He says, and I quote, "Enough already. They charge a fee for peanuts, for leg room, for just about anything. Luggage companies have made carry-on bags, and now all of a sudden millions of them won't fit." This is what the senator is quoted as saying.
Well, all right, Senator. Then we're going to see about this one. Why is a family suing American Airlines?
Well, this young woman is suing American Airlines because she said they lost her dad.
Mm-hmm.
She took her dad to LaGuardia's airport for a flight to Haiti that would connect in Miami. But he went missing. And he's only 52.
Oh, my goodness.
He went missing. He was found 3 days later, 25 miles from the airport. She wants American Airlines to take responsibility, but the airline is not taking responsibility. She said that first thing she did was to tell the flight attendant that her father has Alzheimer's and dementia and that he could not be by himself. Then my question is, why are you putting him on a flight by himself? And she said they put him in a wheelchair with the flight attendant watching him to get him to the gate, and that was the last time they saw him until he was discovered 3 days later. Said there were 3 days of frantic phone calls to not only the airline but to the police department, and that the American Airlines will not and have not at this point admitted liability or even offered an apology. They did, however, offer a refund. I want to look into some policies more about this, because you have an unaccompanied minor, and does this fall under Disabilities Act? What responsibility does the airline have? Are they the same as an unaccompanied minor?
Well, you would think, though, from listening to this, with an unaccompanied minor, don't they have to have a tag, and then they're given to a person, and that person watches them until the airline, you know, they're sitting at the front seat or whatever so that they can be seen and everything. It sounds like she brought them to the airport, told them she had dementia and everything, and turned him over and left, but I don't know if they did anything.
Right, she says he's in a wheelchair with a flight attendant. She explained to the flight attendant. It could have been a split second that the flight attendant, because usually if you've been at the airport and you see someone arrive to the gate in a wheelchair, they leave them there until it's time for the flight to board.
Right.
And so that's enough time for him to have gotten up out of the wheelchair and walked off. And if a flight attendant is doing something else, or it's not the flight attendant, actually, that goes from the counter to the gate, it's somebody else.
Right.
But if they turn around for a second, that passenger is gone. I just would like to have more information on the story. Why is he traveling by himself? If that's the case, you're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia. And then what measures were taken with the airline for them to accept liability as they would in the case of an unaccompanied minor?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So stay tuned, folks. We'll try and figure that out. I'm going to look those policies up on different airlines to see. So that'll be another show, folks.
What to do? I just, especially with a connecting flight.
I know, to Haiti via Miami.
They should have traveled.
Because what is he going to do at the connecting airport?
Right. Okay. Cheap air has new fare. How can something get cheaper than cheap air?
Well, this is a promotional fare, and it's called the Kiss and Makeup Airfare.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Do you remember the case recently about the Ashley Madison website that was hacked for married people who are looking to hook up with other married people?
Yeah.
Well, that account was hacked and a lot of identities were exposed and a lot of relationships are now dealing with it. Well, Cheap Air came up with a special fare providing, well, actually not a special fare, but giving a $50 travel voucher to each, to the person and their partner so that they can get their relationship back on track.
Ooh. So they have to show that, I registered for Ashley Madison.
Well, we're taking into consideration that it's already been exposed. I don't think you're going to expose yourself just to get a $50 voucher. Like, we've been exposed. Let's go on a trip.
Right. Let's go makeup. Let's get some makeup. And La Quinta Palm Springs has a new package.
They do. They have a luxury driving experience package at their Palm Springs property. And this package, it gives you a chance to test drive three autos. We're talking about a Ferrari 458 Italia Spider, the McLaren MP4-12C, and the Porsche GT3.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a fantastic package.
That is.
It's limited time, and it's going to start in October, November, and December. Very limited, so if you're interested, check it out. That's fantastic.
I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, La Quinta.
Spa La Quinta.
Zoom, zoom. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Javon's Travel Minute, and we're going to tell you about the wonders of the world. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie DeShawn.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
The message analyst doesn't have to be that silent shame if you speak up. This is Mandela Burks.
And this is Denise McCain, inviting you to join us as we break the silence of domestic violence.
We come your way each and every Saturday at 10 a.m. and Tuesday at 7 a.m. Eastern with The Silent Storm.
It's real talk about a real problem plaguing our community. Be a part of the solution to end domestic violence.
It starts with you, right here on Sirius XM, Channel 141, HUR Voices.
SiriusXM gets you ready for the upcoming NFL season with play-by-play from every preseason game. Follow your favorite teams and players and the new faces who look to make an impact in the league.
Davis, Davis Winston.
Every NFL game, every NFL team can be heard on SiriusXM Radio and the new and improved SiriusXM app.
Holy cow, Pittsburgh!
For the Howard University.
University Radio Network's only underground gospel show.
Well, get ready.
Join Marcia Soulful Brain
and Andre Latil
on Bridging the Gap.
Using
Unity. Every Thursday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
We'll bring you a mix of underground and new school gospel.
Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius XM 141 HUR Voice.
Be aware of the plans that your leader has for your institution.
I consider it my mandate to strengthen this institution so that it can continue that tradition of sending men into the world who will do things differently.
Of course we're going to excel. There's no other option. Tune in to the President's Desk every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. here on Sirius XM, Channel 141, HUR Voices.
Every day, we go about our lives driven by routine, our vision clouded by the very normalcy we take for granted. Countless victims of human trafficking walk among us, invisible. It's time to open our eyes. The Blue Campaign provides a unified voice for those who combat human trafficking, whether it's forced labor, domestic servitude, or the sex trade. Learn what you can do to help by visiting dhs.gov/bluecampaign.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Traveling Eye on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Bonnie Deschamps.
And I'm Javon Harley.
We would love to hear from you via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So when you do reach out to us, use our hashtag, The Traveling Eye Show. And now it's time for Javon's Travel Minute.
I'm finally going to the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament this year, and I'm having a ball with the planning. There are great tools available to enhance your experience, provide information, and to help you navigate before and during your event. Most websites today are interactive with those attending the event, allowing you to create an account to manage your tickets. You can chat with other attendees, and you get updates on activities leading up to and during the event. And, of course, most events have their own app for the same purpose of giving you everything you need at your fingertips using your smartphone. So on your next event, get connected. You'll save time, money, and you'll be in the know. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute.
Now, is this your first Open?
This is my first U.S. Open. I've been to other tennis tournaments, but this is my first U.S. Open, and I'm so excited about it. What I really love about the website is they allow you to register for an account, so you get information. We also purchased a session pass, so it's so many days, the first half of the event, but we're not going to be there for opening day. So I was able to post the opening day tickets that I'm not going to use, and they've already sold. And they take care of it, all of it through the website, so people can go on. You don't have to worry about finding somebody else and dealing with all of that. They took care of fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
And they have an app to boot, and so I'm getting all the updates. And it really builds the excitement when you get connected like that and use these tools that are available to you today to have a great event.
Is the Open inside, New York City? Proper, or is it outside?
It's in Flushing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's near Queens.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have a ball. I'm so excited for you.
I am. And I'm going to see Serena. I bought the first half because I want to make sure I get to see my favorite players. Remember, we talked before, what's your priority? Is your priority to see a semifinal or final, or is your priority to see your favorite player? My priority was to see favorite players, so I'm going the first week. I'm not putting any bad negative stuff out there, but I'm going the first week so that I can guarantee to see those top players and my favorite players.
Well, that's okay, because it's better for you to see Serena at home so you can yell, scream, and holler the way you want to.
Oh,
I can't holler there.
I know. And Sloane Stephens and Madison Keys are two great up-and-coming American tennis stars as well, and they are becoming my new favorites, too. So get a chance to see Federer and
of the men, all of these guys. I'm going to be in. I'm going to be starstruck.
Would you say that they may be the tennis wonders of the world?
They just might. Well, certainly, they certainly are, especially Serena and Federer. We might have to add them to our list today. But that's right. We are talking about the wonders of the world. And it's very interesting because I started getting confused hearing all these wonders and what's on the list, what's not on the list. So I wanted to do a little research to find out what exactly are these wonders, why do we have so many lists, and how did they come to be and named the wonders of
that
the world?
That is my main question there. Who said, okay, this is a wonder of the world?
Well, and why? I have those answers for you today. But there are various lists. And that's why you see different ones, or if somebody makes the claim we're a wonder of the world, there are some adjectives that have to go in front of that because they're not all the wonders of the world.
Wow.
There are various lists that have been compiled by different organizations at different time periods. But let's go back to the beginning, the original and the ancient wonders of the world, before we had to change the names of them, when it was just the wonders of the world. So this list was compiled of antiquities, and it's the ancient wonders of the world. And if you notice, when we go through this list, they're all located around the Mediterranean rim. And there's a reason for that, because they were based on guidebooks that were popular with Hellenic sightseers. We're talking about people of Greek descendants.
Okay.
So this
okay.
is why. This is why they're in that area. Now, as far as why seven?
Right.
Well,
seven wonders of the world. That's what it's always been.
Right. But why that number seven? Seven was chosen because Greeks believed that it represented perfection and plenty. And because it was the number of five planets known plus the sun and the moon.
Oh.
So this is why they came up with seven wonders of the world. Let's talk about what these classic wonders of the world are. And we first have to say that there's only one that still exists today.
Really?
Yes, there's only one original wonder of the world that exists today, and that is the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Yeah,
so the Great Pyramid of Giza is the oldest and largest of the three pyramids, in, of course, the Giza necropolis bordering what is now El Giza in Egypt, or Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been there. Wonderful, wonderful place. It's the oldest of the seven wonders of the ancient world and the only one remaining today.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that just gave me a chill. I saw an ancient wonders of the world. I was right there.
Yes. Now, the Great Pyramid of Giza is based on a mark in an interior chamber naming the work gang and a reference to the fourth dynasty Egyptian pharaoh Khufu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who the pyramids were erected for. Now, Egyptologists believe that the pyramid was built as a tomb over a 10 to 20 year period, concluding around 2560 BC. Initially, it stood at 146 meters, about 481 feet. The Great Pyramid was the tallest man-made structure in the world for over 3,800 years. Now, originally, the Great Pyramid was covered by casing stones. They formed a smooth layer over the outer surface, what's seen today is the underlying core structure. Some of those casing stones that used to cover mm-hmm. that structure, mm-hmm. they can still be seen around the base. So you know how you see some of those stones
right.
kind of like strewn about?
Right.
Those were those casing stones. It's nice knowing that because that was a piece that I did not know.
I'm still tripping out on the BC part. I mean,
I
all of those years.
60 BC. That's amazing. Now, there have been different scientific and different theories about the pyramids' construction techniques, and most have accepted construction hypotheses that are based on the idea that it was built by moving those stones from a quarry and dragging and lifting them into place. And I've seen pieces on different history programs, and they've showed how they may have been able to drag and pull them. But understand, people of that time period, that was your life's work. So if you were assigned to build this tomb, that was your life work. So it's not like a 9-to-5 today, or you worked there for 5 years. You worked there for your entire life, pretty much, and they were diligent with getting it built, and it has stood the test of time. So we understand why it's on that list.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, they are on the list. It's the only one whose location that has not been definitely established. They don't even know where it was.
Oh,
I know. It is the location has not been definitely established. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were a feature of ancient Babylon, and they were a source of pride to the people, possibly built by King Nebuchadnezzar II in 600 BC. And they were believed to have been a feat of engineering, and they had ascending series of tiered gardens containing trees, shrubs, and vines, and they were said to have looked like a large green mountain constructed of mud bricks. Now, traditionally, they were said to have been built in the ancient city of Babylon near what's present-day Hillel in the Babel province in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ancient wonder of the world, but it hasn't even been proven.
It's in the book.
Don't know the location, but that's where they believe that it probably was, in Babylon, near Hillel in the Babel province in Iraq.
Wow.
So you also have the statue of Zeus at Olympia. The statue of Zeus at Olympia was a giant seated figure, stood about 13 meters tall, made by the Greek sculptor Phidias, and it was done around 435 BC at the sanctuary of Olympia in Greece. That was erected in the Temple of Zeus, and a sculpture of ivory plates, gold panels, and it was over a wooden frame. It represented the god Zeus sitting on an elaborate cedar wood throne that had ebony, ivory, gold, precious stones, and it was regarded as one of the seven wonders of the world, it was eventually lost and the destruction during the 5th century A.D.
Wow, because I was just going to ask, what happened to it? I mean, because that sounds like it was lost. Heavy piece. That's a big piece to lose.
It's a big piece to lose. No copy of the statue has ever been found, and the details of its form are known only from ancient Greek descriptions and representations on coins.
Wow.
So, again, here's another wonder of the world that did it really even exist?
Right.
I mean, we only know that based on descriptions and by those ancient Greek descriptions. So it's very interesting.
So only them old folks got to see it.
Then you have the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Temple of Artemis is also known as the Temple of Diana, and was a Greek temple dedicated to the goddess of Artemis. It was located in Ephesus. What's now today in that area would be considered Selçuk in present-day Turkey. And it was completely rebuilt 3 times before it was eventually destroyed in 401.
Oh,
I know. The only foundation and sculptural fragments of the latest of the temples at the site remain. So only small fragments and some of its foundation is still there. So at least we know that one's there.
Right. Right. You could go and look at it and go, that's where it was.
Exactly.
Those gardens, though, you aren't going to find those.
Then you have a mausoleum at Halicarnassus, or the tomb of Mausolus. And it was built between 353 and 350 BC. It was part of the Persian Empire and Artemisia II of Caria. They were both his wife and his sister.
Uh-oh.
The structure was designed by Greek architects Septeros and Pythias of Pyrene. Yeah.
It's gone.
The only existing one today is the Great Pyramid.
I know. I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. It's like, okay, so that one's gone, too.
That one's gone, too.
So that's just a wife thing.
I know. Very interesting. And again, they're just determined because of Hellenic sightseers. So that's why they're all in that area, and it has to do with Greek mythology and, you know, with the exception of the pyramids of Giza. Then you have the Colossus of Rhodes. And it was a statue of the Greek Titan god, the sun Helios, and it was erected in the city of Rhodes on the Greek island of Rhodes in 280 BC. And it was to celebrate Rhodes' victory over the ruler of Cyprus. His son was unsuccessfully besieged in 305 BC in Rhodes, and before its destruction in an earthquake in 226 BC, the Colossus of Rhodes stood 30 meters high, and it was one of the tallest statues of the ancient world during its time.
The seven wonders of the world.
Yeah, well, we got one more.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around all
right.
of this.
These are the ancient wonders,
right.
So we will do a little bit on the natural wonders, but the Lighthouse of Alexandria. Now, we all know that one of today. The Lighthouse of Alexandria, sometimes called the Pharaohs of Alexandria, was a lighthouse that was built during the Ptolemaic Kingdom between 280 and 247 BC, which was between 400 and 450 feet tall. It was one of the tallest man-made structures in the world for centuries, and it was badly damaged by three earthquakes, 956 and 1823 AD. It then became an abandoned ruin. It was the third longest surviving ancient wonder after the mausoleum that we talked about, and, of course, the Great Pyramids of Giza, until in 1480, the last of its remnant stones were used to build the citadel of Kekbe on the site. So in 1994, French archaeologists discovered some remains of the lighthouse on the floor of Alexandria's eastern harbor.
You know, it's good that it was at least used to do something else with it so it could stay alive for
Absolutely.
So part of it lives.
Yeah, so those are your original wonders of the world.
And please, even if you had, just go see that one that's remaining.
Yeah.
Because it's breathtaking.
It is
breathtaking.
Well, and it's an engineering
phenomenon,
marvel. Yeah. It really is, to understand that something like that took place so many years ago and how they did it, and just knowing there and stepping foot there, it's just a wonderful feeling to have. Now, let's talk about some of these natural wonders,
which most people nowadays hear about the natural wonders of the world opposed to the ancient wonders of the world.
Right. Well, now, similar to the list of other wonders, there's really no census or consensus on the list of seven natural wonders of the world. There are different lists. And there's a large debate over what should be on what list. And this particular list was compiled by CNN.
Okay.
And so, folks, next week we're going to talk about the new wonders of the world. They have their own lists of just the wonders, and there's the new natural wonders, and then there's some other lists we'll consider next week. But right now, let's talk about this list that was compiled by CNN as the seven natural wonders of the world.
That you could probably go visit.
Oh, you can.
You can go visit.
You can visit. The Grand Canyon is one of them. And, of course, it's in Arizona. It's 277-mile-long Grand Canyon.
You know, first time I saw the Grand Canyon, it took my breath away. I couldn't imagine that big. I mean, it's huge.
It is. And it's awe-inspiring. You just stand on one of the rims and look out, and it's majestic.
Yes.
It's up to a mile deep and 18 miles wide at the broadest point. And it really was carved out by the Colorado River. Now, scientists estimate that the river first carved out its path more than 17 million years ago. Mm-hmm. 17 million
years.
Which means it also gives us a lot of geological history and information.
Mm-hmm.
because now we have the tools and the science and the understanding of how to get information through what we have here today with us. And so it's definitely a popular tourist attraction. There's different rims that you can go to. So I implore you, if you're ever in that area, you have to make that a stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. worth it. Well, well worth it.
It certainly is. The Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah. I've been on top of that. I've been to that one. You've been on top of it. I went in it, but yes, we did.
Now, the Great Barrier Reef is made up of nearly 3,000 individual reefs and almost 1,000 islands over a span of 1,400 miles.
Mm.
Amazing.
Mm.
That gives you an idea of the scale and size of the Great Barrier Reef and why it's called the Great
the Great Barrier Reef.
And it's one interesting point they make here. It says while the Great Wall of China is often mistakenly described as being visible from space, astronauts and satellites have managed to capture images of the barrier reef from space.
Probably all of that great color and formation and stuff. And the water is clear.
The water is clear. And these little organisms called coral polyps, and it's constructed by billions of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's globally recognized, of course, as the landmark of Australia. I know I have to out you, Bonnie. Bonnie's like, where's the Great Barrier Reef? Like, it's below, Bonnie.
We had a choice. Either climb the bridge or see the barrier reef.
Right.
I decided to go see the barrier reef. We get there, and I'm going, where is it?
And you didn't realize you had to get on a boat.
If I had known that, I would have been climbing the bridge.
Well, here's another one we've been to, the harbor of Rio de Janeiro.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Guanabara Bay is a 19-mile stretch of land just east of Rio de Janeiro, the second largest city in Brazil. More than 100 islands are situated around the bay,
mm-hmm.
and they have a couple of islands there as well. And it really has a huge, diverse ecosystem. So that one is on the list. This one haven't been to, Mount Everest.
Never been to you know what? I don't really know if I want to. I'm over my statue thing, but I'm not sure if I'm over it that much.
Well, maybe the base. I don't know about climbing it. I don't know if I'm up for the climb, but I would love to see it.
Right.
And it's the world's highest point, the world's highest point. And, of course, it's in Nepal and in Tibet, and it's one of the most iconic natural features of the globe. 29,000 feet tall.
That is tall.
It's ranked first amongst mountains for both elevation and prominence. And, of course, we featured it on our mountains show. So they have 5 entries and for different, you know, we have mountain climbers, but if you have different levels of climbing. So they have 5 different entry points. And I always reference Tenzing Norgay. Tenzing Norgay was the Sherpa that got the first British mountaineers to the top.
To the top.
Yes.
And is it always snow-capped because it's so high?
Yeah, most of the mountains are. You have Aurora. Yes, you have Aurora. I've seen both polar regions of the planet and it's, of course, those northern lights.
The northern lights.
The aurora borealis.
Yes.
And it's different than other entries on the list because you can view it from many different locations around the world because it's in the sky. And it's the higher altitude allows you to do that. And because most natural wonders of the world play out on land and sea, this one is that spectacular light show. That's one on my list. I want to see an aurora borealis before I leave this earth.
Now, is it seasonal or is it all the time?
It really depends on the atmosphere because it is about the chemicals that are in the air. But typically, it's seasonal because it has to be very cold for you to get that chemical reaction for those lights to happen. So that's why it's where it typically is, and that's why it's based on a season because of the coldness of the weather. And they said it
one point, I think it was this year or last year, we might have seen some here in Chicago. But you have your city lights, and those things will warm up the atmosphere as well. So, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now you also have the Paracatin volcano, and it's a lesser known of the entries that are into the natural wonders, and it's not a well-known landmark, but it is. It has made this list all the same, and it's a volcano located in Mexico, and what sets it apart from others around the world is that scientists were able to observe and document every stage of its lifespan from creation to extinction.
Wow.
Yeah, as it happened. So over the course of the 1940s and 50s, different experts and residents in the region were able to witness the volcano growing in the cornfield to a mountainous height of 1,391 feet, erupting for 19 years. So this is a in-our-lifetime situation.
I didn't know the volcanoes grew. I thought they were just...
Well, the earth is growing, and,
right.
and so volcanoes are formed from the earth growing and moving and clashing and creating these wonders. But most of the ones that we know happened millions of years
right.
ago or thousands of years ago, and here's one that happened in our lifetime. So it's not a grand scale. It's just something we were able to witness here. And then the last one on the list is the Victoria Falls. I've been there. Yay. Well, Victoria Falls is in between Zimbabwe and Zambia in southern Africa, and they have a 355-foot falls. And it was named in 1855 for the reigning English monarch Queen Victoria. And they call it the smoke that thunders because you hear the roaring sound of the falls, and then the water produces this mist. So it's like this smoke that comes up. So it's like the smoke that thunders.
Well, I don't know if it's on our website or whatever, but you can see some people that went on with Javon jumping over.
Well,
jumping
one of the bridges,
jump,
right,
yeah.
One of the bridges that go over a smaller part of the falls, they do bungee jumping.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a good thing. So now you have your wonders of the world. I hope you wrote them down so that you can go and take a good trip. And next week we're going to give you some more.
We're going to give you the new wonders and some of those other wonder lists.
When we come back, we've got Bonnie's Eye on, and we're going to talk about some Panama. You're listening to The Traveling Eye. I'm Bonnie Duchon.
And I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141.
The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page. See the world with Advantage International. Advantage specializes in group travel and offers group trips to top destinations around the world. Join an existing group or have a travel specialist at Advantage design that special trip for your organization, family, school, or church. Go to advantage-intl.com for a current trip or call Advantage at 1-877-428-2773.
At Video Twist Production, we understand that capturing memories on video means capturing what's really important, bringing your ideas to life, the stories without a pen. Whether you're hosting an event or putting together a demo, Video Twist Production can captivate your content, allowing your viewer to relive an experience of a lifetime. We take pride and pay attention to every detail in turning your valued ideas into everlasting memories. Call 708-333-5300, mention The Traveling Eye, and receive a free gift. That's 708-333-5200.
Hi, I'm Hoda Kotb from NBC's Today Show. I am so excited to let you know that I have my very own exclusive show on Today Show Radio on Sirius XM. After you listen to Kathy Lee and Hoda talk to me about it, we're going to talk music, tech, exercise, nutrition, relationships, and celebs. This show is going to be so much fun. We're going to get to know each other. Join me, Hoda Kotb, for The Hoda Show, Mondays and Wednesdays, 2 p.m. East on Today Show Radio. Sirius XM 108.
Three tours driving Humvees in Afghanistan.
12 years flying choppers.
When my sister came back from her last tour in Afghanistan, she didn't want to talk about it, but she knew I was there to listen.
Sometimes my husband still has difficult memories. They can be overwhelming. With the Veterans Crisis Line, I know where to turn when we need support.
I made the call and got support for my sister.
The Veterans Crisis Line is here for all veterans and their loved ones. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Are you a diehard fan of Howard University Athletics? Looking to lend support to the Bison teams you love? Then make sure you check out Howard University's Bison Express, an organization formed by the fans of Howard University Athletics that is dedicated to providing an exceptional athletic and educational experience for the student athletes. For more information on Bison Express, visit bisonexpress.org. Bisonexpress.org.
One in five children in America struggle with hunger. I'm Viola Davis. I was one of those children. I was one of the nearly 17 million kids who worry where their next meal will come from. Join me with the Safeway Foundation and the Entertainment Industry Foundation to help us end childhood.